don't have to like everything we say. You don't have to listen to us.
You know, sometimes we sabotage ourselves when trying to deal with all these scams out there. We've done a few back in the day talking about different types of scams. I'm going to focus heavily on email and internet usage. Some things that we don't know we cause ourselves and make lives even more miserable. Little things that might help out with your privacy and security, protecting your own information and trying to hide from all those little digital systems out there that like to tell you what to buy. So let's point out a few things today. Try to avoid this self-sabotage and dealing with online and offline scams right here on Gray Man, hiding in plain sight. Oh, those junk mails are the worst, aren't they? I bet you're the guy that has like 50 Gmails at this point. You're like, it's so out of control. I'm going to go make me another email account. Which sucks if you're a Mac user, because then you're like, well, you know, my email address attacks all these apps and everything I buy. I can't do anything about it. A lot of times anymore, there's two things to accept in life. One is junk mail is going to happen eventually. And two, we cause a lot of it. Now, one thing we've talked about before, and this is something I always take note of, is that you never really know anymore who's selling your information and for what reason, or even sharing it with a company they may own that isn't selling it or violating any rules or any user agreements. That can be so difficult. This is why one of the things I advise in the past is your email is irrelevant to your purchase experience online. So think of it as having an email account for receipts. That's the way I look at it. Like, I have this email account when I do any online shopping. That's where everything goes. So that if I buy something from Amazon and Amazon owns a subsidiary company, or they share my stuff with a third-party vendor that's selling through Amazon that is selling my shit because they don't have those agreements with me or whatever, it just goes to that email. And so when I have god-awful amounts of them, I don't even give a shit anymore. I just look through to find, oh, yeah, okay, they shipped it. Good. That's all I care about. That'll help some. But the other thing about junk emails is recognizing them. Anymore, most of them aren't even coming from America, kind of like a lot of those bullshit robocalls you get, or they're not getting robocalls, you're getting them from real people. Scams based on your age and life. Like, my mother's older now, so she gets all these Medicare scam calls, and she knows they're bullshit. So some people are younger, might be IRS when you never dealt much with IRS. So on these emails, when you're looking at them, first thing to know is take a close look at it. You know, it comes from a website that looks legitimate, that sells clothing that you were at recently. Then you got to think back about, okay, I was at that site recently. What did I do? Did I buy something? Did I sign up for the email? Did I create a login account? Because those will get me emails sent. And if so, can I go in and shut those off through notifications or email settings of what to send me? Because most of them you can. So there's that to look at. The other reason is we haven't done that. I've never been to that website, but I talked about that product recently. That's because one of the things to accept, I think it's a scam, but it's how things work, is that there's always a way around it. I mean, Yahoo went to trial over this, but so have other people. It's been this issue that things to accept in life are, with email, just like even message boards and messenger systems, chatting, social media, whatever it is, the system scans what's happening. So they do things, they do this with email too. So you write an email, whatever it is, whether it's to check on something you bought or you're actually using it as a correspondence platform. The system scans that, and they may not hold on to your information forever, but they're hold up for a while, sometimes years. all because of something in the user agreement you agreed to that you never read in the first place, because who does that, right? They're too long. And even if you do read them, even if you do think you understand them, we often forget that just because the new user agreement came out doesn't mean everything in the old one got deleted. These might just be updates. It's hard to see. What they'll do is they'll scan this basically using computer system, looking for keywords and things that they can help do the ads. That's why people talk about, I didn't even look at this on Amazon. I just wrote an email about this for Christmas. And next thing you know, on these websites that have Amazon links, they're showing me this crap that I wrote in an email for my Christmas present list, you know, or whatever, because that's how that game's played. And it's understanding that, you know, a lot of people aren't using email for correspondence unless it's at work anymore. So you can cut way back on what you're talking about and how specific you are. The reason the systems do that is they don't want to send you ads that are uninteresting. They want to send you ads of things you might be interested in, hoping you'll click on them. And here's the best part. It doesn't even matter. In the beginning, it was about what you did, when you clicked on it, why, how often. That helped with when we place it, when does it come up, what time of day is best. Those systems, those computer systems are learning. You know, so now you're at the point where when you don't even do something, you're teaching them. It's like, you know, when you go to websites and they say, oh, for security purposes, you need to identify all the bicycles. And they show you like 9 or 12 photos, and there's always like 3 of them, and you got to click on them. Or they have one now that has like a picture with one random puzzle piece you have to slide over. There's nothing about those that are security features. They're just, that's the only way they can get you to do it, but you have to do it or you can't get in. But they're not security features. You're teaching computer systems. You're teaching learning systems. Anymore, you're teaching some AI systems how to function and learn. And that's what all that's been for. That's what Google was one of the first ones who did it. Those are all about teaching AI systems as they build those softwares and programs that have been going on for years. That's how long. Think about how long has it been? How many years have you been going in and picking 3 bridges or 3 streetlights in a photo? That's how long you've been teaching ChatGPT and all these other programs, learning information. That's what they're all for. It's just like your phone. Oh, for security reasons, I don't care on this website if you'll give me your social, your bank account, and all this other information. I just want to send a text to your phone. That's how I know it's you. There's nothing secure about that. Any idiot could have your phone and click yes. That's a leash. That's a whole nother learning system. That's something to understand. There's no security features to that. That's not what that's for. So when we look at these emails, one of the things we can do is realize there's things we're probably doing that are increasing the amount of junk mail we're getting that we're trying not to get. We're doing things we think are smart. Turns out they're dumb. Because what happens if you get an email from like Boot Barn? I went there looking for boots recently. So let's say I go to the website, I'm looking at Boot Barn. And they go, oh, if you spend, $300, you're going to get $50 off with this coupon. If I really think I'm going to buy online from them, sure, give them my email address. And I get this little email from Boot Barn. Hey, here's your $50 coupon. It's good for, 60 days or whatever. What they don't tell you is you're not going to get fucking Boot Barn emails every fucking day or every week. And it happens. So what do? We go and unsubscribe. Now, I always recommend the first thing you do is go to the website and see if you actually logged in and created an account you forgot about, especially if it's old, because that's a better way to do it, to go in. And let's say you do that. Let's say you had, oh my God, I bought Boot Barn 2 years ago, right? So I'm going to go in and delete my account. Well, before you delete your account, if you want to delete it, deleting your account doesn't stop the emails. Go into your email settings in there, do the updates where it says, I don't want these emails or I don't want any emails, whatever it is. And typically they'll tell you how long it's going to take. Whether it tells you that or not, the best thing you can do at that point is I suggest making a note for anywhere from 3 days to 7 days, but no longer than that, because it gives the computer system time to update to make sure you're not getting those emails, then go in and delete your account. Because if you go in and delete it, even after you've, and you don't tell it to stop sending your emails, they're still going to send them. And if you tell them to stop sending your emails, but then delete your account, but the system hasn't updated, there's a chance that those savings you changed all got deleted because they didn't get updated in the system because you immediately deleted your account. That's the first thing I recommend you do. Obviously, I recommend even going. the most secure online thing you could do is never go online. But that's not reality anymore, so we got to find ways to manage it. Another thing to look at is, let's say you've gone through those steps and, no, I never did that. I don't do that. I told them to send me an email. You remember doing that. Usually at the bottom of the email, you're going to have a little unsubscribe link and you go in and it sends you. And sometimes you can tell it's a regular website and sometimes it's a third-party system. I hate it when they use third-party systems because you never know what that system is. Sometimes by doing that, the system will unsubscribe you from that, say, store that's sending you stuff. But because it's a third-party system and they have agreements with the store like Boot Barn, but not agreements with you, they now have your email anyway. And they're like, oh, you didn't like Boot Barn? Well, I'll send you some from some other things. And there's no getting around that. It's probably going to happen anyway. A thing to note, though, when you click unsubscribe, when it shows up, when it pops up, it should be auto-filled with the correct email. Okay? That doesn't mean it's legit. Most likely it is. If it comes up with a thing and says, enter your email address here to confirm, that's a scam. You're giving them their email. You're telling them that email is active. And it's telling them to send you more garbage. And that's usually for bigger systems, places that are buying information. The people that are really trying to do scam, just like they used to do chain letters, are like, oh, I would love to come meet you, but I'm stuck in Africa. Send me money. The ones that are really trying to steal from you, they just have it set up where it doesn't matter if you use unsubscribe or not. The fact that you click on anything in there just tells them that account is live. So we need to learn to identify fake emails. One of the things you can do now on your email accounts is you can go up there and it says, this is from Boot Barn. Let's say it goes, it's all highlighted from Boot Barn to Bob at Gmail. But now what we can do is you can click on Bob at Gmail and it gives you that full Bob at Gmail address. And then you click on Boot Barn in the email address bar and it gives you their full email address. Almost anybody can open those up and see if they're legit emails. You know, for example, the no reply ones are very common. No reply at this. Like if I get an informational email from Social Security or Department of Veterans Affairs, no reply or no dash reply, whatever. Things people can't replicate or fake. Most fake ones are so obvious because it'll say some crazy number system, maybe at Boot Barn, and then have like somebody just randomly hit keyboard letters and numbers and it's some crazy look. That's fake. So you don't know what the fake ones look like. 90% of the time, you're going to ID them right off the bat. And that's to know. If you're unsure, take the painstaking efforts to put a little effort in and call the company. Call their scam department. Sometimes they'll be like, can you send us that email here? So we have that address. We can put it on file. Or like if you get it, say, from your phone company. A lot of people are doing scams for phone companies now. You can call them up. You call up T-Mobile and go, hey, I don't know. I got this email. I think it might be a scam, but I can't tell because the email address looks like it could be good, but I don't know if it's yours. And they'll be like, yeah, yeah. And then they'll look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's not our email address. Or, well, we have them file here. The last email we sent you was 3 weeks ago. When did you get this? Well, I got it yesterday. Oh, yeah, yeah. They'll tell you straight out that's a scam. So when you identify it as a scam or somebody tells you it's a scam, and some of them, you don't even have to go in and do that. Some of them are so bad now that when the email pops up, like I get ones all the time I see. They're like Kohl's, Best Buy, a bunch of stores, off Home Depot. They are blurry, shitty. They look like blurry, shitty photocopies. They got put in as a main email. Like those are obviously fake. Those ones you don't have to do anything. But when you identify them as that, here's what you do. You never click anything, including unsubscribe, because you're telling them your account's active. You're just going to get more garbage. And that's the one way we sabotage ourselves. Instead, just move it into your junk folder. Or if it's not a junk folder, what else are they? Spam. It's called spam or junk. If you know how to do the smart controls, you can send it there. That doesn't mean you won't get that email. It looks like that again. What it means is you won't get it from that address, or it'll go straight into that folder, and then you can just auto-delete spam or junk, whatever it's called. The problem with clicking on it, though, is when people do these, especially people really trying to scam you, they don't have one or two email accounts. They have hundreds. They have thousands. Their job is to sit around and monitor these, and they send them out to random. Sometimes they make up the email address just to see if they're real because there's so many out there. I mean, think about this. There's something like 40 million YouTube channels and like a billion users or something. Some crazy number. And there's more emails out there than that. I don't know what the mathematical probability is, but I'm willing to bet you could just make up the dumbest email addresses and some of them would be right. So however they do it, they'll go all through this. And then you reply back, oh, please unsubscribe me, Bob at Gmail. And they go, oh, Bob's live. So then they copy that over into a live email address that they're going to use to send you junk mail or to scam you. Or maybe they're a legit company that just has your information because they bought it, whatever, legally or illegally, probably legally. And then you told them that was live. And then they're allowed, based on whatever laws, to put that into other systems to send you more garbage. Whether it's legit or not, that's how that goes down. So that's the big thing to look for in that, and to make sure we're not clicking on things and self-sabotaging and getting more garbage. Another thing to look at is A lot of the phone scams for our offline stuff come from legitimate government agencies. They're not trying to scam you, but the scams are revolved around that. For example, my mother is in the classification of what we typically call the elderly. She receives Social Security and has Medicare, you know, and she has her own medical insurance and all this other stuff too, but she has those things because that comes with the age range. So what happens? Like I said before, she gets all these phone calls from Medicare. Now, most of the scam phone calls are no different than the shitty photocopied emails. These people have these terrible accents. They can hardly speak English. You know, they have a phone number where they, just like having those random emails, what they do is their companies or themselves basically obtain a list of local phone numbers. So my mother, as I said before, lives in Washington State. So they'll get random phone numbers in different towns and cities in Washington State. The thing is, they probably don't even know where Washington is in our country because they're, most of these people are not in the United States. Most of them are in places like China, South America, and Russia, I believe, are the main ones. But there's several others too, several Southeast Asian countries. Scammers everywhere. So you, the other thing you have to ask yourself is, when it's a, something big like a federal agency of some type like that that helps millions of people, and your caller ID, this is why caller ID can be helpful, comes up, and it's a local phone number, and it may even say Medicare. Like on my mom's phone, it'll say the phone number in the town. Even it won't say Medicare right away, or it'll say Medicare, but it'll say the phone number in the town. And we're like, well, that's small town USA. They don't have, there's no way they have an office there. So there's that. That's the first thing to look at. Next is realizing that what phone numbers do typically those phone calls come from, or do you call? So you can go to the website and say Medicare, and you can go, okay, here's their 800 numbers. They probably have a lot more of them, of course, but there's the ones I can see. And then let's say they have direct dial numbers that aren't 800 numbers, because for somebody that lives locally in that state, and you find out, oh, they're probably all going to come from there. And then you learn things like, sure, they have Medicare and Social Security in these places, have offices and locations in probably every state and territory. But unless you're directly dealing with that local office, if there's some big issue that company's identified, they're going to call you from those main locations. So that's something else to keep in mind. Okay, this isn't a main location. This is a small town USA, so this might be a scam. Then they're not speaking English very well. English isn't even their second language. It's like their 12th language. Okay. Those companies aren't racist, but they purposely hire people that speak very clearly and are very patient and calm, non-pushy people, because they're typically dealing with people that they need to, this is about money, this is about benefits, this is about healthcare, these big national companies. They need to make sure they can communicate clearly to their customers, answer their questions, that they are clear and when they speak and that there's no issues, because you could be dealing with people that can't hear well, people can be easily confused. And this is actually true with anybody. So they're not hiring, you know, people in India to call you. They have people working in those offices to call you. So we have that to look at. Another thing to look at too is places like Social Security and Medicare, when they call you because you called them, you're on hold forever and asked them to call you back. That's when they call you. Otherwise, they send you letters in the mail asking you to call them or asking you to log into the website. They don't send you emails telling you to log into the website, by the way. They don't do that. Those are scams. They send you stuff in the mail so that you know it's them. When they do call you, they don't ask for in-depth personal information, and they don't ask for anything that relates to money or any of this other stuff. They don't ask you to verify personal information unless it's you calling them to get stuff in. IRS is the same way, and this is another thing to point out for a scam in this country. This happens to younger people, people that aren't used to filing taxes. Or if maybe they're not younger, but they've started businesses, finally filing in businesses, and they're getting new at it and all this other stuff, they'll get scam phone calls from the IRS. And the IRS will be telling them, oh, there's this problem with your taxes. Oh, you owe money. Oh, there's this legal thing. Oh, you can go to jail. They even sound very threatening. The thing is, the IRS doesn't do that. IRS also sends you letters in the mail. If you screwed up on your taxes, it's going to come in the mail. And if you've got enough money that you've got an accountant, a lawyer who deals for that for you, who deals with all that, when they call you and tell you, hey, I heard from IRS, IRS didn't call them. IRS sent them something in the mail. They don't call you and do that stuff. They don't call you and make threats. It's done in the mail. If it's bad enough, they'll show up at your door. But it's to understand these scams are common. It's funny to me. I guess it's because they're not in America. If they're in America, we'd see a whole lot less phone scams. But so many people aren't using phones now. Most of these are coming over landline phone calls. These are people in other countries who have no idea how things work here. Most of those calls are going to be garbage if they're on the phone. The emails, 90% of them you can identify right off the bat. Never, ever, ever click on anything, including unsubscribe. You're just telling them your email's live, and they're going to send you more junk. Also, if you for some reason think somebody's called you, it doesn't have to be the IRS or Medicare or Social Security. It could be anything, anything you think it is. Even in a previous episode, talked about the police officer calling the guy. No problem. Tell them you're going to verify the info. Tell them you're going to verify the info and call them back. Ask them for that return phone number and extension to get a hold of them and get their full name and info. If this is legit, they'll have that to give you. Then you on your own, without their assistance, go online, not through an email, search for whatever you need to find the phone number to say that police department in that guy's case or your local Medicare or Social Security office. Call them and say, I got this phone call from this number from this guy at this extension. I'm just trying to verify if this is in fact legit or would this be a scam call because they're asking me questions that seem questionable. Because there might be a reason they need to ask you something to verify your identity, but it shouldn't be a whole lot of that stuff where it looks like they're trying to get your identity to steal it to do other things. Just like what I mentioned earlier with the phone company. Call them and say, I got this email. I got this phone call. Here's what it is. Is this legit? And then they will tell you or give you advice on how to handle it. The idea isn't to say people can't be trusted or you should be untrusting. It should be aware that this happens to people all the time and that there's simple signs to look for that's going to cut out probably 80 or 90% of it in your life and make it a lot easier to identify the garbage and so that you don't get taken advantage of. Because it takes almost no time and effort to do these verification steps. But if you don't do it and somebody screws you or steals your identity, it could take you months or years to recover from that mistake. Another thing to pay attention to is aggression, especially on the phone. I do remember being young, having credit cards. I think I was in my teens or 20s. Stuff went into collection. I didn't know how. I was never taught any of that stuff. Trying to get it fixed to the point people really getting to me and they were like screaming, yelling on the phone. And these were collection agencies or the actual bill companies and stuff trying to get their money. And these were the aggressive tactics they used back in like the early 90s. However, people just tend not to do that anymore. I suppose a collection agency might. I don't deal with them. But these places where it could be any of these organizations I mentioned, or some of these come from financial institutions and banks, just like you'll get fake emails that say, your FedEx thing is, we can't deliver it. We need verification. Those are always false. That's not how that happens. Those are always fake. Or, this is your bank. We have this problem with your credit card. Please call us. Please click here. Those are all bait, all fake. Sometimes they'll do things where they just send you these fake emails. So you click on things and want you to verify through social media like Facebook. And the second you do it, you don't realize you're going to a fake Facebook site and they're stealing all your info when you logged in. Because as soon as you turn around and try to log in again, you realize you can't because they locked you out of your account and they hijacked it. Always because of email. But when you're talking to them, what doesn't happen anymore, especially now, like for those who listen to the David Robinson show, one of the things we have now is while during COVID, we saw this massive, massive responsibility for people who weren't working and trying to pay off debts with the money they had, this massive pay down in debts. Now we have this massive rise in debts and defaults on credit cards. People are getting these phone calls. When you're dealing with the legitimate organization itself, like the bank, the car company, whoever it is, they typically have programs. You know, they have like delays in payments, all kinds of forbearance things. Sometimes they have stuff, depending on your situation, where it collects interest, but you don't have to have a payment. Some of them send you stuff out during the holidays to skip a payment or offer to skip a payment now. Yes, that does make them more money every time you skip a payment, but it can help you out. They have several situations, especially where you can explain stuff to them and even show them your financial situation where they try to help you. They're big and they want to get their money, but they don't want to lose customers, so they're not assholes anymore. So if you have an account at, say, Chase, and maybe you're having a problem with that credit card, you got $1,000 on it, and you missed a couple payments, you get a call from somebody saying they're Chase, and they're screaming at you. Even if everything they're saying sounds like it's you, I still would hang up the phone. Look for any legitimate piece of paper in the mail if you're getting actual mail, or go to your account online if you don't get mail and it's all digital, because now you're like, well, I get all digital, so I have to look at email. Banks also have ways to deliver you stuff like electronically in your account, so that whether they're sending it to you by paper and or sending it to you by email, then you also have a section of documents or something in there you can go in and look and find that information, so you can call them to verify exactly what was happening. Now let's say you do that, you go through all those steps and you find out this was legitimate, no problem. deal with it, handle it the way you need to, but then also file a complaint against the asshole who treated you like shit, because they just don't do that anymore. And it's considered unprofessional and out of line. So watch out for anything that sounds like aggression, aggressive tactics, not the little woke, whatever, blah, 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 I'm a snowflake, everything, not that. People are being direct in your face assholes, making threats, being intimidating, telling you what can happen, right? And not being nice about it and not doing it because you asked them the question. Probably bullshit. Now, if you have any other questions or ideas or think you have experienced a scam or things you're seeing or something I didn't cover, please shoot me an email. The links are down in the show notes. Send me your situation. Share a story if you'd like. I'd love to share it on here, what you've done about it, especially if there's anybody out there that had anything involving legal entanglements or you had to use lawyers or the police or whatever, let me know. Just as a quick one that happened to me when I was in college. I had saved up money. I went to college. I was starting out with a few $100s and I put it into a bank account in Seattle because I was going to school in Seattle, lived downtown, and they were sending me my checkbook. Debit cards didn't exist then, although ATM cards did, but I was supposed to get my checks in the mail, and then I don't know how long it was supposed to be, but too long went by. I didn't get them. So I needed to buy food. So I went over to my ATM to check my account and had like, it wouldn't work. Like it wasn't working correctly. And I was like, probably me. So I went and I was like, hey, I opened this account like 3 weeks ago or whatever it was. I never got my checks and I needed to buy groceries. So I was just going to pull cash out of the ATM, but it wasn't working. So I think I did something wrong or maybe I didn't set something up. Can you guys help me? And they're like, sure. And they're like, hey, can you come over here? We're going to have somebody come talk to you so we can keep the line moving. I'm like, yeah, no problem. So this guy comes in who's one of the vice presidents, because you know everybody in the bank's vice president. And they're really talking to me, trying to figure out what's going on. And he was really nice about it. He wasn't accusatory or anything. He's like, I believe you. And I'm like, okay, why wouldn't you? And he goes, your accounts have been frozen. I'm like, well, what do you mean? So what had happened was somebody broke into the local post office like a week earlier and stole a bunch of mail. And in that mail they stole were my checks, my entire box, a box of checks. Like we're talking hundreds of checks. And they'd been trying to float all these fake checks. So I got my money back. I got a new account at the same bank. They helped me out. Every time I got information from people, I went in and did affidavits. And this went on for months. Like most of it, the first couple of weeks were rough getting it all figured out, sending them information, doing affidavits and police things. But once I got this system down in a couple of weeks, it was pretty consistent for like 4 or 5 months. And there was like one company that like 2 years into it, I just told them, fuck off. I have all this stuff. If you're not going to deal with it, they're like threatening me. I'm like, get a lawyer. I don't give a shit because I'm not. You take me to court, you're going to pay my court fees and I'm going to sue your ass. But they were writing these checks for food and car repairs and groceries and buying stuff. And it was just this hassle I had to go through that was to show you that not only can it happen, it's going to take up a lot of your time, but there's going to be people that aren't going to care and they want their money so badly, they just are going to act like everything you're doing is a lie. So if you got stories like that, please let me know. Love to hear them. Love to share them. If there's any other scams you got questions about, because I get questions like that every once in a while, let me know. I'll answer those right here. Gray Man, hiding in plain sight.